This is Brother Hansen from Truth Life Ministries here in Lakeside, Arizona. It's good to be here with you today. We're going to get right into our study in the book of the Revelations. And the seventh chapter, I think, is where we're at this point, if you'd like to follow along. The theme of this section centers around the opening of the seals and the act of sealing. And it continues here. Remember that what we just saw in the first five seals was a preview of the remainder of the book of the Revelation. And in the seventh chapter, verses 1 to 3, the idea that angelic brings control, various angelic beings control various forces of nature, is an ancient belief. In these verses, the angels that control the four winds are empowered to bring hurt upon land and sea, and as a warning of God, the coming judgment, a warning from God, his coming judgment. Before they do this, they are told to wait by an angel from the east so that God's people can be sealed on the forehead. Now, 7:3, they put a seal on the foreheads of the servants of our God. And John derives this idea from Ezekiel 9:4, which apparently, where the Lord tells a cherub, an angelic creature, to pass through the city, through Jerusalem, and mark an X on the foreheads of those who moan and groan over all of the abominations that are practiced within it. Then in verse 5, the cherub is told to pass through the city and kill everyone who does not have the mark. Ezekiel, he seems to be drawing on Exodus, where the Hebrews marked lintels of their doorways, as you remember, with the blood of the lamb, blood of a lamb, so the avenging angel would pass over them. That's during the Passover. We all know that story. Therefore, we may interpret this marking in Revelation as a sign of God's claim on these people, showing that they are exempted from the judgment which God is about to bring upon the earth. Now, in 7 and verse 4, these 144,000 marked from every tribe of the Israelites. Remember first that in Revelation, Israel refers to, now we may take this as both ways, actually. Now, I'm not writing this in stone, and nor am I insisting on my dogmatic doctrine to be taken as truth. But Israel could refer to spiritual Israel, the church, which some do believe. This number, however, 144,000, it may not be a literal number, but the drawing of 12,000 from each 12 tribes is quite literal when you look at this, but 144,000 may not be a literal number, drawing 12,000 from each tribe, 12 tribes. This may be a composite number made by combining other symbolic numbers. 1,000 is one of the highest numbers in the Hebrew language and is used to mean a very large number. Just like different 10 and things, different numbers in Scripture may be symbolic of several different things and may not be literal. So I'm just throwing that out there so you'll have something to chew on. 1,000 is one of the highest numbers in the Hebrew language and used to mean very large numbers. There are 12 tribes, or 12 times 1,000 yields 12,000 in each tribe. Multiply this by 12 to get 144,000. Spiritual Israel, the church may be pointed out here, is built upon the foundation of the earthly Israel. Now, I'm just establishing some meaning here that you might gain some knowledge from. Now, the church built upon the foundation of the earthly Israel and is 12 tribes. John emphasizes this by listing the 12 tribes, the symbolism of the number, 144,000, is that every single one of God's people who dies for his or her faith from every place on earth will be preserved and brought before God in heaven. Now, in chapter 7 and verse 9, the great multitude of which no one can count. Is this the 144,000? And since the crowd cannot be counted, this shows, could show, 144,000 must be a symbolic number. Just as the Antichrist is symbolic for evil coming from a conglomerate of many people. Did you get that? Now listen very carefully. 144,000 may be a symbolic number. Verse 14 tells us that these are they who are coming through the great time of trouble. Now, does this mean that the church is going through the great tribulation? Well, it could. I'm not trying to shove this doctrine down your throat, but I'm giving you something to think about. Now, the coming through the great time of trouble, the great ordeal, this does not refer to the troubles, which Christians are in general must face, but to the ordeal which John foresees occurring just before the end of history. In verses 1 to 8, the multitude was on earth, the church militant. Here they are in heaven and the church triumphant. Okay? So they could have been caught up. At what time? I don't know. But they could have been caught up just as in a rapture before, during. Nobody knows. And I don't think anybody will know except the Lord Christ. John has now left his orderly progression in time to look ahead beyond the great time of ordeal to a vision of all the church universal presented before God. As I see it in the book of the Revelation, there is a time when this 144,000 is caught up to God. Now, when may be a secret. From every race and tongue, okay? This goes back to Daniel 7, Revelation 5, and illustrates the universality of God's people. White robes, these represent immortal spiritual bodies, and recall the white robe given in baptism of the Holy Spirit, actually. Palm branches, the palm branch was symbolic of independence and nationalistic victory from the time of the Maccabees, who won a relatively brief period of independence for the Jews before Rome invaded. 7 verse 9 to 12, this great scene of heavenly worship reflects the joy, seems to reflect the joy of God's people as they anticipate the life of heaven. 7:14, these are the ones who have survived the time of great distress. The Greek text literally says that these are the ones passing through the great ordeal, great tribulation, as if they are still arriving at the time of the vision. This identifies the 144,000, the great crowd, as the martyrs who have resisted the compromise with evil and have paid the price for it with their lives, washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. This refers to Isaiah 1 and verse 18. Though your sins be like a scarlet, they may become white as snow, just like everyone's sin in the world that asks God to cover them with the blood. This also refers to Zechariah 3 and verse 1, verse 5. In which the priest Joshua has his filthy clothes changed to festal garments with the word, "See, I have taken away your guilt." Their clothes represent their immortal spiritual bodies. Therefore, these are they who receive the gift of immortality because of their faith in the obedient sacrificial death and the blood of Christ on their behalf. 7:15 will shelter them. Now, the Greek text literally says that God will spread his tent over them. This goes back to Exodus 40 and verse 19, and a time when the Israelites had just completed manufacturing the tent wherein they were to place the Ark of the Covenant. And Moses spread the tent over the dwelling place. This expression is seen only one other time in the Old Testament, in Jeremiah 10 and verse 20. God describes the exile of the Jews and says that there will be no one to pitch or spread my tent. Thus, when John says that God will spread his tent over them, it does not merely mean that he will give them shelter, protection. Quite possibly means that his home, the tent of Old Testament, has become their home in a symbolic but real sense. 7 and verse 16 to 17, notice how these two verses, actually these verses are composed from various Old Testament sources. They will not longer hunger or thirst anymore, nor will the sun or any heat strike them. And Isaiah 49 and 10, they will no longer hunger or thirst, nor shall the scorching wind or the sun strike them. 7:17 says, "For the Lamb in the center of the throne will shepherd them and lead them to springs of life-giving water." Psalm 23 and verse 1, "The Lord is my shepherd,
to safe waters ye lead me. Now, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Isaiah 25:8. The Lord God will wipe away the tears from all faces. This is just a little bit of how Scripture vindicates Scripture. This is how you know it's true. Well, that's our time for today, folks. I can see we're out of time. Go to our website, krciradio.com. Shoot us an email and let us know you're listening. And write to us, KRCI Radio, Box 424, Lakeside, Arizona, 85929. Till tomorrow's broadcast, Brother Hansen saying, study, show yourself approved to God.